if we had such people, they would go to the United States, but we wouldn't have them. We would have just the user, because we are so slow at doing anything like that. We can do a rifle. We can do a machine gun, but we can't design one yet. We can build one, but we can't do the other quickly enough.
Well, the manufacturer, the Canadian Car Company, let's see, I have a note here saying that they were well aware by 1958 that the British and the Americans were experimenting with their own version.
Oh, yes.
And in January 59, they wrote suggesting that an order be given for production of the first 100 vehicles at a cost-plus basis to be followed by an agreed price or target arrangement for the remaining 700.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are doing, I mean, if there's to be blamed here, not necessarily looking for blame, but looking for an explanation, you're saying that the government didn't react quickly enough to provide the money needed for this experimentation by the Canada Car Company.
I don't think they backed the thing financially the way they should. If they're going to do it, they should help to put the pressure on them and have the money available.
Yeah.
But when the company came up and said they had so-and-so, they reached a certain stage, we're reaching it.
Yeah.
There's no use us trying to fund a thing. See, there's no carryover on these. There's no carryover of cash.
Yeah.
And if you budget a certain amount in a particular year and it isn't spent, which often happens, the first year you usually over budget, and at the end, if they really get going, you may catch yourself under budgeting, saying, well, we put that much in last year and they used 25% of it, so we'll cut this one back. So because all you do is you lapse money you could have used for something else. Mm-hmm. That money can't be transferred to another vote. Money between primaries without the consent of the government, and you don't get it very readily. So I feel that a number of these things were held up by the delay in financing, because you couldn't tell some of these people who had staff and money committed when you were going to give them any more orders or what they were, you know, how the thing was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally felt that with this sort of thing, we would probably produce something nearly as good, or I think most of my own chaps thought better. Some of the models may have been, but on the whole, say nearly as good as the Americans, and that's the sort of vehicle that normally lasts about 10 or 15 years. Well, the only carriers we had were the old Bren carriers and things that we had from the First War, and we had those during the war, and we were talking there in 1958, and the vehicles that we built and used in Korea are still being used today. So this is the sort of thing, it wasn't so important to us that we got the latest version right off, because we had a team in the American arsenals watching theirs, and they had a team watching ours. So whenever we were doing a mount or any type of equipment that we didn't have, this was always provided by the United States. If it was a new rocket or something that we wanted to be sure would mount, we always got these things up to the mount, even before we had delivery in our own procurement program.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked very closely together, and I think you'll find that many of the features that we had were incorporated in theirs, and some of them improved.
Mm-hmm. I see that, again, this is a note or a memo from Perks to the Treasury Board in January 59. He certainly seems to be pushing the Bobcat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And
there was where we had the money was financing.
Yeah.
You see, the minister had no more control. Once your budgetary things were approved, he had no more control of it than we did.
He says, this is the memo again, relating to the Bobcat. It's to the minister from you. Where's the date? 9th of June, 1959. It says the memo was a request from General Clark to display quarter-scale models of the Bobcat for the CNE. write that unless we are likely to get the Bobcat into production next year and funds made available, I think it unwise to give this publicity about the vehicle that may or may not be included in the Army. We have to give more priority to survival equipment. Perhaps a display might be better along survival lines. Mm-hmm. Now again...
Well, you know what that is.
Yeah.
Well...
But again, he says here, you know, unless funds are available, it's still...
Yes, well, this is the thing.
That he's trying to get it, and he's... Yeah.
But he's having difficulty. And one of the things, there isn't any doubt about it, if you start putting models and whatnot up, it sounds like a bit of a charlatan. The minister agrees, everybody in the military agrees, and you're having trouble funding. Giving it a bit of advertising isn't bad, because then you get the public behind you saying, when are you going to get them? This is a device that's used.
What about this one? In October 60, they made the unexpected finding that the prototype Bobcat was a ton overweight.
I don't remember that.
And therefore, they wanted it. I just say they wanted it. I don't say who wants it. Presumably the Canada Car Company. A little bit more money to iron this wrinkle out.
I don't remember this. The only problems we had that I remember of this sort, we did have arguments on the thickness of armor plate. And now this, the only, here are the recollections I had. We wanted armor plate for it. And the two places we felt we could get the best armor plate was in Germany and in Belgium. We could buy it from the United States, the price was high. We could buy it from Britain. But the idea was to make it here. And all of my experts said, well, we just won't make it here. If we get 15 millimeter armor plate, we specify the thickness, the hardness, and so forth, and then it's tested. And we knew that 15 millimeter armor plate of a certain type would withstand certain types of armor-piercing cartridges. Well, we were told by all the experts we could find that we could produce armor plate that thickness. It's supposed to be armor plate, but it wouldn't do what it's supposed to do. Now, whether we had applied some Canadian armor plate on it or not, I don't remember that. And that's a point funny, I don't recall that at all. A ton is a lot more. Of course, it's quite a number of tons. It's probably, we're talking perhaps in a 10% margin. So you're getting up to 8 or 10 tons when you get one of these.
Of course, the two things that come out there to my mind, one would be its air portability,
yes.
And of course the other would be its sinkability, perhaps.
Well, the ones we tested, this is the reason, funny that I don't remember that, because I remember going in one, because I was going to get wet too in the Ottawa River.
Yeah.
With the full crew and the 105, and that was the heaviest loading we had. Now, when you used the similar one for the armored personnel carrier, of course, it was a lot lighter. And whether this was the laden weight of one of the gun carriers, I don't really know. I've forgotten that detail.
I might be able to check back in that, although I...
We might check here. One chap who might know is Earl Mayhew. Colonel Mayhew, you met him that night here.
Oh, yes.
Earl was a REME officer and one of our exchange officers with the U.S. Now, whether he's handling Bobcat, he's a mechanical engineer from Queens, whether that was his particular baby or not, I don't remember. I might check with him if he remembers the detail on that.
That'd be an idea. Good idea. I think what I'll do, Finn, I'll end there. I'll just get back...
But I have a cup of tea. I've got it all ready to go. Just take me a minute.
Oh, lovely.
There, I have a cigarette right here. You have a cigarette?
Yeah, I'll have one with tea. How's that? Yeah.